Between the Bar Lines. I am your host, Dr. Maeve Barry, and I'm really thrilled that you've tuned in to today's episode. We are approaching the end of the medieval era, so before we dive into the Renaissance era, I want to take the next three or so episodes to tie up all of the loose ends. In today's episode, we are talking about the origins of the motet, one of the most significant musical forms of the medieval and Renaissance periods. What is a motet? The motet is a choral composition that first emerged in the early 13th century. As we have been discovering more important works around this time in past episodes, we can quantify this musical work as a polyphonic work. Notre Dame musicians created this genre of music. The motet evolved out of a specific kind of organum called discant clausulae, which were short, melismatic sections of chant that were increasingly being treated as independent compositions. As time went on, composers began adding new, more elaborate texts above the original chant line, creating a layered, intricate sound that became the trademark of the motet. What makes the motet unique, especially in its early development, is the use of different texts sung at the same time, and sometimes even in different languages. A single motet could feature a sacred Latin chant in the lowest voice, typically called the tenor, a French or Latin poem in the middle voice, and even another text in a different language in the upper voice. This made motets highly expressive and versatile. Some were deeply religious, while others had courtly or even satirical themes. Motets were special because of this. It gave composers the opportunity to fully express themselves with the usages of many different texts in their compositions. It also created a space for motets to become their own entity and have the capability to be performed outside of a mass. Because of this, Burkholder states that the new opportunities for motets influenced composers to reevaluate older motets. Several things could be done to these existing motets. A different and secular text could be added to the duplum, and this was usually in Latin or French. Even more voices could be added, up to maybe even a third or a fourth voice. And sometimes even the original duplum was taken away and a new one was composed. Speaking of existing lines, we might remember a brief chat about the tenor line. That was that stationary line that was taken from the original organum. In the mid to late 14th century, the tenor was beginning to be referred to as the cantus firmus. This is a very important term that was introduced around 1270 by Hieronymus de Moravia. It helped in these multi-voice pieces to distinguish the original line from the newly composed lines and their texts. This term will come up a little further down the line when we begin to talk about different types of masses. As the motet spread across Europe, it became more refined and complex. By the late 13th century, composers like Franco of Cologne were developing systems of notation that allowed for more precise rhythms, paving the way for even greater experimentation. Franconian notation was codified in 1280 in a work written by Franco of Cologne called Ars Cantus Mensurabilis, or The Art of Measurable Music. This was huge because now there was a semblance of organization around rhythms in musical works. This type of notation did follow rhythmic modes from the Notre Dame school, which had been used from the 1200s, but it just made them clearer and more easy to understand. Franconian notation eventually led to a type of motet that we now classify as a Franconian motet, where the upper voices would have distinct rhythm patterns. Composers like Franco of Cologne, Adam de la Halle, and Petrus de Cruce utilize this notation. The latter two even expanded upon this notation by adding rhythmic variety to each of the parts, ultimately making them even more independent from one another. I have attached links to complete videos of the following two motets in the episode notes. One called Factum est salutare and Domine, which was based on a discant clausulae, as well as a motet by Adam de la Halle called Mut me fut grief le départir, rame mem en portare. Listen for these distinct differences between the two clips that I'll play. The first is much more simple, and you can really hear the slow movement of the tenor against the added duplum line. In the second recording, you can hear not one, but three different voices singing in three different languages. Here is a short clip of Factum Est Salutare Domine. Factum Est Salutare Domine. And here is a clip of the De La Halle piece. The motet would go on to evolve into one of the most important forms of Renaissance and Baroque choral music, influencing composers like Josquin des Prez and J.S. Bach, both of which we will talk about in later episodes. In our next episode, we will venture into talking about other important 14th century musical developments, including the Ars Nova movement, as well as several key composers who shaped the rest of the century. Join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.